running?
Yes.
Never apologize for showing feeling. When you do, you apologize for the truth. This is Instant Inspiration, Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capel, California. Never apologize for showing feelings. When you do, you apologize for the truth. This was a statement made by the wonderful philosopher and statesman Benjamin Disraeli, one of the outstanding thinking minds of the earlier century. I believe he was active in the 18th century. Fantastic fellow. Where would France be without him? So, never apologize for showing feelings. When you do, you apologize for the truth. It reminds me when a person calls you up in the middle of the night and said, "Did I wake you?" And you say, "No, no, no, no." You know, some people humorously try to say, "No, I had to answer the phone anyhow," which was the wake-up call. But did I wake you? Yes, you did. Now, is there something important that you want to tell me? If not, please let me go back to sleep. Now, what is it that's on your mind? Well, I have this problem. Is it something worthwhile for me to work with you on, or do you want to bug me or make me feel unhappy with you for what your problem is, or is there something we can do? Well, I speak my word that whatever is bothering you is now under complete control, and that you are in balance and harmony and peace. Now, you go to bed, close your eyes, and relax, and you will have a lovely night's sleep until whatever time you want to wake up in the morning. When do you wake in the morning? I like to wake up at 7, okay? Then at 7 o'clock you will wake up. Between now and 7 you will sleep like a baby. And you will just sleep very comfortably. Now I know that you like to have little jokes, and so I'm going to tell you a little joke. One man was saying to another man, "How did you sleep last night?" And the other man said, "Just like a baby. I woke up screaming every 2 hours." Now, that's not the way I meant like a baby, is it? I meant with a peaceful, quiet, gentle, loving attitude. Why do people have babies who wake up screaming every 2 hours? Because they expect it. They expect it. Now, if you would go to the hospital that produces babies that sleep through the night comfortably and quietly and dry, and they're not having to do anything until the morning light, then that's what you'll have. So you go to that hospital, that's called the sleep dry night, you know, and the sleep dry night hospital, maternity hospital. And you go there, and every woman who has a child there has a child who sleeps through the night dry and quiet, and in the morning then they're ready to do their duty and have a wonderful meal. Now, you say, but maybe there's a need in that child to eat. Maybe there's a need in that child to go to the toilet. Maybe there's a need in that child to do those things. And I say to you, that's very true. There may be a need in that child. And you would say, how inhumane of you to not let them have that need be met. And I say, it's never too early to start to train yourself to be master of your organs, to be master. Well, they have to do that because that is what they do. Well, then if that's what you believe they have to do because that is what they do, then they do. Now, I have been a newspaper reporter for 30, 40 years, and in the process, I have written up so many articles about people who had rather unusual experiences. And these experiences were all exactly what I expected them to be, because I had a mental attitude about what was going to happen, and so it was. I told you about this before, I'm sure, but I went to one accident where a telephone pole broke off and went right through this old man, right through his tummy. And he was sitting in the car waiting for some help. And I was at the scene before the medics arrived, and we talked. And I said, that's pretty serious. He says, well, I'm still breathing, so it must be all right. And he says, I don't feel any pain. And I said, well, that's a wonderful thing about our body. It shuts off the pain, you know. And he said, it is uncomfortable, you know, because I can't move around. And he said, I'd like to go to the bathroom, but I can't, you know, and so forth. And I said, well, I'm sure that the medics will be able to take care of that for you very quickly and get you back in shape very quickly. He said, well, I'm 78 years old. And I said, well, that's beautiful that you can come through an experience like this at 78. Most people, if they were 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, they would die of shock because that would shake them up so much. But you are a supermaster. You are wonderful. And he says, I've always been like this, you know. I've always been able to handle it. I don't know why I created this silly thing happening to me. And I said, well, does it matter? What is your attitude about it now that you're there? He says, no, it doesn't matter. He says, no, no. He says, boy, am I going to have a story to tell my grandson, you know. I said, you don't need to create him this way, that's for sure. But we talked like that. And we talked back and forth. Perhaps I was a little more mundane and a little more ordinary with my statements, not quite so practitioner positive like I am today, more like I was practitioner learning positive back then. But the idea was there and the concept was there, and he created me being there with him until the medics came and took care of him. Now, why did he not go potty in his pants? I mean, that would scare the piss out of you, wouldn't it? You know? And you just release. Now, they say when people die, they release their defecation and they release their urine. That because the muscles that are holding them in place are no longer holding them. The sphincter muscles of the anus are no longer firmly in place. They're totally relaxed. And so everything flows out. And also the sphincter muscle on the urinary canal, it is totally relaxed too. And so this is what happens. And this is what medics and what people expect. Well, it doesn't have to be that way. And you don't have to apologize for showing feelings when you have them. When I talked to this man, he didn't have any hurt feelings. He just thought it was a stupid thing that he had let happen to him, you know. But he certainly has something to tell his grandchild. Now, can you have someone wake you up in the middle of the night and you don't have a great irritation? Oh, who the hell is that? At this time of night, who would be calling me? Well, here at the University of Healing, Church of God Unlimited, we tell people on the telephone through our dial of healing words, call anytime. Call anytime. And there's going to be a friendly, loving voice answering, hello, oh, yeah. I just woke up. Okay, now what's your problem? What's the circumstance? No, I don't know your problem. What's your solution? You know, what is it? You know, and you get your mind in order. But pure, loving honesty. There's nothing to be ashamed of, your emotions. Nothing to be ashamed of for showing your feelings. You just say, hey, I have just took me from a beautiful dream, but that's okay now. Now, what is it you like? That you have taken me from this dream is fine. Now, let's not procrastinate and prolong it. I'll talk to you for a few minutes, get you all squared away, and then I'll go back to my dream, you know? I'm good at that because I do that quite often when people call in the middle of the night. But show your feelings. Don't apologize for the truth. Just show your feelings and say, hey, yes, you did call me in the middle of the night, and that's part of our program here. I'm the one who's on duty even though I was sound asleep, you know, because I don't have that many calls. Maybe two, three a night, maybe four. But if we can work with four people each evening who have life-changing experiences through their calls with us, that's fine. We're not here to heal the world. We're not here to change the world. We're here to be an example to the world by our attitude, by our lovingness, by our kindness, by our sharing. You see, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. Just like the movie on the Beverly Hillbillies last night, the girl was a toughie, and the critters would all come to her. She never had to speak unkindly to the critters. And this one wrestling boy came to her, and she didn't have to speak unkindly to him. She could have spoke kindly to him and say, "This is my friend. I would appreciate it if you leave him alone." But no, she went in to him to show him that she was strong and she could do whatever she wanted to do. Now, all she had to do was to wrestle him legally, not to take her foot and stomp in his groin. I mean, that was totally obnoxious. Totally, and it told a story to all the children who watched it that that's okay to do. That's okay to do, and that's never okay to do. In fact, the body slams and the mat slams and the twist of the elbow and those sort of things, those things are totally out of line. This is a gentle film. It's a film of the Clampets from the hills who come into the city, and they're not a violent people. They're a loving people. They're people who love their neighbors, who love their friends, and their neighbors were pretty interesting people, you know. And they could have had all sorts of hillbilly experiences with them, but they had loving experiences. But then for them to show this girl acting in that way, as they were trying to make her into a lady, that was just totally wrong. Now, I'm saying that because we all registered feelings. When she did that to the boy, all of us, if we were watching at all, we thought to ourselves, "Ugh! You know, that's terrible." Now, that when she body slammed him, when she put him on the mat in a proper hold for wrestling and stuff like that, we didn't think a thing about it. That's all proper. That's all part of the game. But when she used violence and when she used crudity to do these things, that was not accepted. I would never watch another one of the Beverly Hills Billy's new programs if it is, and they had it left so that it could be a continuing series if it struck pay dirt. But I don't know when it came out, but I think it came out during Clinton's reign. And when was that? That was a number of years ago. And I haven't heard anything about it since. So perhaps it's the last of the Mohicans. We never apologize for showing our feelings. When we see something that makes us feel compassionate or loving, we are compassionate and loving. We don't want other people to be compassionate and loving to us. We are compassionate and loving to our creation.
To our revelation.
To those that exist in our world that we have revealed, because we have revealed that as a type of being that we want to enjoy in our world. Our revelation. It's a little difficult. We're so used to saying creation, and creation covers it so beautifully. But if you're honest, then you want to move into the next term of creation, to revelation, to revealing. Because we're talking this evening about unicorns. And Ellen was saying, "Well, I create them all around me." And I said, "No, you don't." She said, "Yes, I do. I create them wherever I want them." I said, "No, you don't." She said, "Oh, yeah. I reveal them." In other words, they are always there in all of their beauty, dignity, magnificence, representing absolute purity. They're always there. And we shouldn't feel sad when people do that. Now, as we saw Mr. Smith Goes to Washington on the video, we had wet eyes. We were emotional about it. What? You weren't emotional? You weren't emotional? You weren't emotional? Oh, so two out of two. Two were just stones, untouched by the experience.
No, not that
and
much.
Two were touched by the experience with an emotion. And that's beautiful. Now, in my talks that I give, and when I attempt to bring you in with the talk, if you're going to go for the letter perfect to fit your program, you're going to find yourself in trouble. But if you fit the program in the broader spectrum of the program, then you're harmonious. Now, did you enjoy the show?
Yes.
Enjoyment is emotion. Did you feel that he was suffering from a very demanding filibuster experience? Okay.
Yes.
We'll leave it alone. We'll leave it alone. Now, never apologize for showing your feelings, because if you don't know how to show your feelings and you have been turned off on showing your feelings, then you might as well turn off on being a human being. Because if you apologize for it, you are apologizing for the truth. For the truth of who you are is a gentle, loving, caring person. Now, I can tell you one thing. If we were to have Ellen's grandson in the ring, and some smarty little girl comes and stomps on his genitals, she would be up in arms. She would be angry beyond imagination that such a thing is allowed. He will no longer father children. You follow me? He has been demasculated. He has been neutered. He has been, what would you say, a eunuch, without any sex any longer. But you see, when it happens to somebody else, then we don't have that same feeling about it. But c'est la vie. Benjamin Disraeli had a lot of beautiful sayings in his lifetime, and this relative human saying is quite charming and speaks a lot. So you have a lovely day, and if you can put any of these thoughts to work to bless your life, I say it, I'm happy that I had a chance to speak to you. And so it is, and I love you.